السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ ومغفرته. الحمد للہ رب العالمین الذي خلق الافلاك والارضين والصلاة والسلام على سید الانبیاء والمرسلین وعلى آله واصحابه اجمعین اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم. Respected audience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created us. Allah is the one who created us and everything that we see around us. Every single thing that exists in this world has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Almighty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the power to do anything He wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is He who is free from time and space. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is He who is free from all types of faults. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is He who cannot be comprehended by our imaginations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far beyond our imaginations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created every single thing that we have known from history and that we know today in the present and that we will know in the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is He who possesses all the qualities that exist, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who causes the wrath that comes upon the people through floods and water and earthquakes and storms and typhoons and everything that happens. It is all through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who created Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and placed us in this world for a reason. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is for a reason. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, do the people think that I have created them for no reason? I have created them for no reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from abath. Anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is full of wisdom. Whether we understand that wisdom or we don't understand that wisdom, there is wisdom in every single thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. And Allah created us and sent His messengers and prophets amongst us, and He sent Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Khatamun Nabiyyin, the final prophet amongst us, so that he can give us the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and inform us why Allah has created us and give us the message through the Quran to the people from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and live our lives in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live our lives. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in that Quran that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created man and jinn but so that they worship me. Which means that man and jinn have been created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all have been created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why should we not worship Allah? Allah is the one who created us. Allah is the one who gave us clothing. Allah is the one who gave us life. Allah is the one who placed air in the atmosphere through which we breathe and we preserve our life. Allah is the one who provided medicine through vegetation so that we can heal ourselves when we are unwell, and when there is something wrong with us, we can heal, we can become better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has placed food all around the world so that we can eat when we are hungry, to preserve and maintain our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has placed water all throughout the earth, all throughout the globe, so that we can drink when we are thirsty. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with every single thing that we have today, then why should we not be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why should we not worship Allah? He is the greatest. There is none like Him. Nobody can be as good as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any quality, in any attribute. No man, no creation
and no existing being other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can level themselves to Allah. Allah is the creator of every single thing that exists other than Allah. Why should we not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If a man in his factory makes a pen, he makes a pen and he has produced this pen, he owns that pen, he may break it, he may throw it, he may throw it out of the window, nobody has the right to say anything to him that don't do this. Why? Because it is his pen. He made that pen. It is his, it's not yours. It is his pen. You do not have the right to say anything. You do not have the right to object to what he does with his pen. It's not your pen, it is his pen. In the same way, respected brothers and fellow Muslims, Allah is the one who created us. Allah is the creator of every single one of us. He is the creator of the water in the oceans. He is the creator of the earth. He is the creator of the sun and the moon, the stars and the sky. Everything that exists has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How dare anybody have the right to object to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does? No man has the right. If Allah wants, He can take our hand away. And you can live without a hand. You do not have the right to object. You do not have the right to object to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah may take the life of anyone He wants. No man has the right to object to Allah that, oh Allah, this is wrong what you have done. Ma'ad Allah, no man has the right to do that. Because Allah is the one who owns everything. He is the owner. He is the creator. He may do what he wants. And therefore, the ulama of ilm kalam, the ulama of aqidah, they say that nothing is necessary upon Allah. Nothing is wajib upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not wajib for Allah to give Jannah, paradise, to the believers. It is not wajib. Allah doesn't have to reward you for the good that you do. If the pen that you produce has helped you write so many articles and books, it doesn't mean that you have to reward that pen. It's your pen. It has to do what you want it to do. In the same way, no matter how much worship of Allah you have done, no matter how many times you came to the masjid and you fasted in the month of Ramadan and all throughout the year, it doesn't make it wajib upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send you into Jannah. It is simply the grace of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send us to Jannah in the Akhirah. That is all it is. It's not wajib, He doesn't have to do it. But because Allah is the most beneficent, the most benevolent, the most merciful, the most gracious, therefore through His kindness and through His graciousness, He will send us to Jannah in the Akhirah, inshaAllah. Do you understand? It is not wajib. People come to the masjid and they come and perform salah. I have done tawbah from all my sins and from now on I will perform salah every day. When a person becomes pious, does he think that Allah will not test him anymore? Does he think that Allah will not put him through a trial anymore? When a person comes close to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests that person. Allah puts that person through trials and tribulations to see whether this person really believes in me or not. And that is why a person who used to drink alcohol, who used to take interest, ma'azallah, who used to do business in interest, he used to commit haram, eat haram, one day he does tawbah. And when he used to do all this haram, he used to have loads of money. He had a big bank balance. He was doing what he wanted. He bought the car that he wanted. He bought the biggest house there was. He was living in luxury. He was living lavishly. And then one day he does tawbah. He leaves all the guna, all the sins. He leaves all the haram. And he says, oh Allah, I renew my faith. And from now, I repent in your court, I will never commit haram again, and I will do only that which is halal. And he starts performing salah. 5 times a day he's in the masjid. And then slowly his bank balance starts to go low, less and less and less. His business is not making the same money as it used to. He starts making less and less and less. He loses everything. But he does not have the right to say, "Oh Allah, why have you taken all of this? I worship you, why have you taken this?" And he must not think that I need to go back and be like I used to and leave Allah, because believing in Allah does not help me. This is not what he should be thinking. But he should realize that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question each and every single person about what they had in the world. And if you had a big bank balance in the world, if you had an amazing lavish lifestyle in this world, then on the Day of Judgment you will be questioned about everything. Everything you possessed and you owned and all the gifts Allah gave you, you will be questioned on the Day of Judgment. But that person who didn't have a house will not be questioned about his house. That person who never had money will not be questioned about money. You will only be questioned about that which you had in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to question you on the Day of Judgment about everything you had. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted your tawbah, accepted your repentance, and took it all away from you, so that on the Day of Judgment Allah does not question you about all of that. That is the wisdom of Allah. And every hardship that you go through in this world, every hardship that a believing Muslim goes through in this world, Allah forgives his sins. When you are hungry and you feel pain in your stomach, Allah forgives your sins. Up to the extent that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that even when a thorn pricks the body of a human being, a Muslim, then because of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives his sins. Any type of hardship and your sins are being forgiven. So when you come in the court of Allah and you do tawbah in the court of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to wipe away your sins, Allah will put you through struggle. Allah will put you through trouble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you strive and struggle and go through hardship. Why? Because you have done tawbah. And you have done tawbah, you want your sins to be wiped away, then Allah will put you through these troubles and make you go through hardship, make you feel pain, so that through that pain and struggle and hardship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives your sins. Is that not what you wanted? Is that not what you wanted when you did tawbah in the court of Allah? Of course. But why do we not realize? Why do we not realize? You should remember that Allah is the one who created me. He is the one who knows me, and He knows what I need and He knows what I don't need. I don't need to ask Allah for anything. Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. Namrud has prepared this fire and he is about to burn Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam into that fire. And Jibreel alayhi salam comes in the court of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, sent by Allah, and he says, "O Ibrahim alayka salam, Allah has sent me to you. Is there anything you want from Allah? Do you want anything from Allah?" Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Allah knows my state. Allah knows what is good for me and what is not good for me. I do not need to ask anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And he refused to ask. Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam said, "Go Ibrahim, ask Allah and Allah will turn this fire off, and you will not be able, they will not be able to burn you." Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "If Allah wants me to burn, I will burn. If Allah doesn't want me to burn, I will not burn. I do not need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam went into that fire without asking for anything from Allah. He was pleased with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was pleased with the will of Allah. And he taught us that Allah knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. There is no need for you to ask Allah. Allah knows your state and Allah will give to you whenever you need. And Allah will test you as much as He wishes. But just remember that when Allah tests you, don't worry. Because Allah says in the Quran, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden any being but that which He can carry. You will not be burdened more than that which He can bear. So when Allah tests you, the test is proportionate to the person Allah is testing. And that is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the most a person goes through struggle, and the most person tested by Allah and put through trouble and struggle is me, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he who is most closest to Allah, and then he who is most closest. And that is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through the most striving life and the struggling life that he did. But he was patient. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu went through such a struggle of a life. But he was patient. And so on. The awliya Allah, they go through so much struggle and striving, but they are patient in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden a soul but that which He can bear. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you through tests. But you must be patient. And you must remember at all times that Allah does not burden you but that much which you can carry. And remember, you don't need to ask Allah all the time. But Allah loves people to ask. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people when they ask. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كَأُدْعُونِ أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Call me, ask me and I shall give to you. Allah loves those who call to Allah. Allah loves those who ask Allah. And at the same time, Allah loves those who are patient. Allah also loves those who are patient and they don't ask Allah. Allah loves both these type of people. And do you know, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, the young sahabi of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and this is in Bukhari Sharif, Kitabul Istisqa, in the chapter of Istisqa, when there is no rain and there's been a drought, and you need to ask for rain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? This is Kitabul Istisqa in Bukhari Sharif. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says that when I used to see that there's been no rain in Madinatul Munawwara, in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, and there is a drought and people are struggling due to thirst and the animals need water and water, there is no water, we need water. He says that I used to come to the doorstep of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he was the means to reach Allah. He was the one sent by Allah. He says that I would come to the door of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I would see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting in the place that he used to sit. And he says I would sit outside and I would be facing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in my heart, I wouldn't say anything with my tongue. He says, I wouldn't say anything with my tongue. I would just, in my heart, without moving my tongue, I would say, oh Allah, Medina is in a drought. This beautiful face of your most beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through that beautiful face, oh Allah, send us rain, send rain in Medina. And he used to sing the couplet of Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which goes to say that this beautiful white shining face that you have given to this Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through which, O Allah, you bring clouds into the sky which give water to the people and quench their thirst. He would sing that couplet, and he says, without moving the tongue, just by looking at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would see that water has started coming from the sky. It has started raining, and then I would stand up and I would leave. Subhanallah, without moving his tongue. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, because Allah knows. Allah knows. Allah says, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. I know everything that you make apparent and express, and I know everything that you hide. There is nowhere where you can hide anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows. And when you're going through that struggle, and when you are going through that trouble, then Allah knows. Don't worry, Allah knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Just be patient. Just be patient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, كَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. That verily, without doubt, after hardship will come ease. After hardship will come ease. This is just the test that you are going through. Just be patient. Be patient and you will pass this test. And once you pass this test, yusra will come, ease will come, and you will sit back and relax and bathe in the eloquence of the beautiful result that you have just achieved. So just be patient, that time will come. Have you not seen the struggle Sayyiduna Ayyub alayhi salam went through? The struggle that the previous Anbiya kiram went through? The struggles that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through? The struggles that the Sahaba-i-Kiram went through, they were tortured by Allah, by the enemies of Allah. Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Khabbab, Sayyiduna Ammar ibn Yasir, his mother and father were tortured in Makkatul Mukarrama. They were tortured in many evil ways by Abu Jahl. Sayyiduna Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu's father died due to that torture, simply because he believed in Allah. But look at that faith in his heart. He believes in Allah. Before he believes in Allah, everything's fine. But as soon as he believes in Allah and rejects all the idols, and rejects all the shirk and polytheism, and he believes in one Allah, he is tortured. He goes through struggle all throughout. His father has died due to this torture. His mother is struggling. They are torturing his mother. And there's nothing he can do to save his mother. This mother who gave him birth, who brought him up, gave him food, clothing, and whatnot. She is being tortured by these people. Yet I can't do anything to protect my mother. And all this is happening since we believed in Allah. But look at his faith. He doesn't turn from Allah. He is patient. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he wanted, with a gesture of his finger, he could change what was happening. But he said, O Ammar, be patient. Sabr, O Ammar, sabr, sabr, sabr. Be patient, and in the hereafter the reward will be better. And Sayyiduna Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu was patient. And do you know what Abu Jahl did to the mother of Sayyiduna Ammar ibn Yasir, to Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu anha, the first woman who died for the sake of Allah? You can't even imagine it. He stuck a spear into the body of Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu anha. Ya Allah, into the private part of Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu anha. Al-ayadu billah. Look at the struggle that she went through. And she gave her life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But she remained firm in believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She did not shake. She did not stumble in her belief for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was patient because she knew that as soon as I die here, I will have Jannah waiting for me. And this life is nothing compared to that life that is yet to come. And therefore she was patient. Look at them and look at us. Something small happens and you start complaining. Oh Allah, why is it now that I have started praying namaz? Why does it happen when I'm praying namaz? Does that mean I should stop praying namaz? Does that mean I should stop worshipping Allah and go back to my old ways? This is what has happened. We have lost our patience. We need to be patient. We need to practice patience. Because patience is what will give us reward in the hereafter. Sabrun Jameel. Patience is beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. Seek help from Allah through patience. Because when you are patient, Allah comes to your help. Because your patience means you are passing the test. And if you have remained patient, then you have passed the test. And therefore, my dear brothers and fellow Muslims, you must practice patience and keep firm in your belief for Allah, because Allah knows everything that is in your heart. And do you know why this happens? Why you have to go through these trials and tribulations when you do tawbah? Is because your heart has become darkened. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person commits a sin, when you commit haram, Allah creates a black dot in your heart. When you commit haram again, another black dot is created on your heart. You continue to sin, and these black dots keep appearing on your heart, and they appear one after the other until your heart completely becomes black. And when your heart is completely darkened and it becomes black, then shaitan overcomes you. Shaitan becomes ghalib upon you. Inna shaitana lakum aduwwun mubeen. He is your open enemy, and you have allowed shaitan to take over you. And that shaitan has an advantage over you, and he overcomes you, and he overwhelms you, and he takes control of your heart when it is darkened. And therefore, when you do tawbah and you come into the court of Allah, you are put through struggles and tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect your heart from being controlled by the shaitan, to clean that blackness and darkness that is inside your heart. To clean it, you have to go through struggles and trials and tribulations. And that is why we do the dhikr of Allah. Because the dhikr of Allah, the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the food for the heart. It is what brings light into the heart. And do you know, when we remember Allah, when the friends of Allah remember Allah, do you know how they strike? They move their head towards their heart as a strike. They are like they are hitting their hearts. They say, La ilaha illallah. They are hitting their hearts so that the blackness and the darkness that has overcome the heart, it all shatters by the name of Allah. And when that heart is struck by the dhikr of Allah and the name of Allah, that heart shatters and all that blackness and darkness falls off your heart. That is why they do that. And do you know what they do? They say, La ilaha. What does La ilaha mean? It means there is absolutely no deity or anybody worthy of worship. And that is to the shaitan, ke La ilaha. And when you say no, what do? You move your head from right to left. And that's why you move it. No, there is none. So you're saying no. La ilaha. And then you're saying illallah, but Allah. When you say yes to something, you move your head up and down. So that's why you're saying illallah. Yes, there is one Allah. La ilaha illallah. So you're refuting the shaitan that there is absolutely no God, nobody worthy of worship, but Allah is. And that's how you refute the shaitan, and you strike your heart so that your heart is cleansed from that darkness and them black spots. And when you strike your heart with the zarb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that heart starts to shatter and clean itself from all this darkness and blackness, and then light starts appearing in your heart. And that is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to make dua that Allahumma ij'al lana nuran fi qalbina. O Allah, create for us nur in our hearts. And that is through the remembrance of Allah. So we must all open our eyes and realize that it is Allah who created us. He is the magnificent, He is the greatest, and He may do whatever He wants whenever He wants. And therefore we must always keep firm in our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be patient when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us His greatest creation, Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah ordered in the Quran that, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. Be obedient to Allah and be obedient to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah said, وَمَنْ يُطِئِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ. He who has followed he who follows and is obedient to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has already followed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah sent us this Prophet and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he made him his representative on this earth. Allah made Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the representative and the presenter of the might and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people, to show the people that there is only one Allah and He is the all-powerful, and therefore the power that Allah gave to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more than anybody else that was alive in this world, anybody that Allah had created or will ever create. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the chosen one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore he was equipped with the best and best qualities that anybody could ever have. Can you imagine the American government sending a special ops agent into Afghanistan for a specific mission to fight against the Al-Qaeda group and things like that? The American government sends somebody. The kuffar, they send somebody there. This man, do you think he's going to go without any weapons? Do you think he's going to have nothing on him? He's going to have no weapons on him, he's got no special goggles or any. He has nothing on him, no special equipment. He's not even that clever. He can't even read and write. Do you think that's possible? That's not possible. Why? Because the government is not stupid. The American government is not stupid. Brothers, fellow Muslims, think to yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most knowledgeable, the most wise, He sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a mission greater than any other mission that you can even imagine. The greatest mission of all in this world, since the beginning of time until the end of time, there is no greater mission than this. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been created for this mission, and he is sent into this world not only to a ummatan khasa, not only to a specific nation, but to all the nations that exist in this world. Allah has sent him and chosen him as a messenger of Allah, as a representative of the power of Allah, of the mercy of Allah and the anger of Allah. He was sent as a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you think that Allah did not equip Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you think he didn't have any powers? Do you think he couldn't read and write? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, Tufdul Arab kullaha, I have been around the whole of the Arab world. Ma ra'aytu afsaha minka ya Rasulullah. I have never found anybody more fasih in language than you, ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala. He was the best speaking person alive. Nobody could speak better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you not see the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Read Bukhari Sharif. Wherever it says qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, read what it says after that. Wallahi, you will see the level of Arabic language. You will never find such Arabic language anywhere else besides in the Quran, because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent by Allah in the Arab world, and the Arab world was those people who regarded the whole world as ajam. Ajam means those without a tongue, meaning the Arabs were so proud of their language, they thought that nobody else could even speak. We are the only ones that know language, we are the only ones who can read and write. And Allah sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that proud nation. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't equipped? Of course he was. Do you know that in Bukhari Sharif it says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam even used to write? Subhanallah. When the Treaty of Hudaybiyah happened, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the kuffar made a treaty. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and he's writing the treaty, and he writes between the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah and Muhammad Rasulullah. They looked at it, the kuffar of Makkah, and they said, if we accepted you as Rasulullah, then there would be no need for this treaty. We will not allow Rasulullah to be written in this treaty. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, O Ali, remove it. Imhahu. Delete it. Rub it off. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, how can I rub it off when it says Rasulullah? And do you know, in Bukhari Sharif it says, you know, people thought, because apparently Allah made sure that nobody teaches the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody teaches him how to read and write. Because if he was taught to read and write, people would think that the Quran is not the word of Allah. So apparently he was not taught how to read and write. He was sent as Ummi. But Allah taught him directly. Allah made him his messenger and prophet. Allah is the one who taught Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to speak and write. And do you know, in Bukhari Sharif it says, فَمَحَاهُ وَكَتَبَهُ بِيَدِهِ, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself with his own hands, he rubbed Rasulullah off and he wrote Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Ibn Abdullah, he wrote himself. Subhanallah. That Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything he did, he was the most perfect. And therefore, my fellow Muslims, you must realize that it is Allah who is our creator, and we must never forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For He sent us this Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger who gave us His message, and He walked and talked and He lived the life of the Quran so that we can follow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through that we can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why every single one of us should have so much love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as much as we have for nobody else. Did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not say in the Quran, in the hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولدي والناس أجمعين. None of you is a believer until I become more beloved to him, more dear to him than all of his family, including his mother and children. We must love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our means to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why I'm telling you this? Because remember, it is not wajib upon Allah to send you into Jannah on the Day of Judgment. Nothing is wajib, nothing is necessary. Remember, I told you, the only way you will enter Jannah is by gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have pleased Allah, then Allah will send you into Jannah. In a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that on the Day of Judgment, a mujahid will come. A man who gave his life in the path of Allah, a shaheed. Allah will say, what did you do with all the things I gave to you? He will say, O Allah, I performed jihad. I performed jihad in your path, hatta, until I died. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that no, you went to jihad and fought in the battlefield so that people say that you are a brave and courageous man. And you received that in the dunya. People called you brave, people called you courageous. You did not do it for Allah. Another person will be brought in the court of Allah. He will be asked, what did you do with everything that I gave to you? He will say that, O Allah, through all the gifts and everything that you gave to me, I worshipped you, O Allah. I worshipped you. And I remembered you in the dunya. I followed your commands. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him that, no, you worship me so that people regard you as a pious man. So that people say that he is a salih, he is an abdun salih, he is a pious man. That is why you did that, and people called you a pious man in the dunya. You received that. Go, you are not a pious man. You did not do it for Allah. And then another person will come. Allah will say, I gave you so much money, I gave you so many businesses and whatnot, all these types of wealth. What did you do with them? He says, Ya Allah, I found every manner of giving in the path of you, O Allah, that pleased you, and I gave in that path. I gave in that path for your sake, Ya Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no, you did not do that for me. You did that so that the people call you a generous man. People say that he is a pious man, he is a generous man, and people call you a generous man in the dunya. That has been given to you. You will not receive anything now. Do you see what will happen on the Day of Judgment? This is what will happen. And these people will be dragged from their heads to Jahannam. It's mentioned in the hadith. فَصُحِبَ إِلَى النَّارِ. They will be dragged to the fire of hell. This is what will happen. So this tells us that the only way to enter into Jannah is by pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the people. Don't please the people. Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you will please Allah in this dunya, then on the Day of Judgment, with pleasure, Allah will send you into Jannah. Not because it's necessary upon Allah. But the question is, how do you please Allah? The way to please Allah is to follow the Quran. And if you want to understand the Quran, then go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that, "Qul, O my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you tell the people, Qul, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you all love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fattabi'uni, then follow me, become my servant, do what I do, become my servant, become my slave, become a servant of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by following him. Follow him, do what he does, serve him, Ya Rasulullah, whatever you want." Do you know the Sahaba-i-Kiram? They used to serve the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever he wanted, they were at his service. In that way, we need to be in the service of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he says, "Lengthen your beard," we must, "Ya Rasulullah, we will lengthen our beard." When he says, "When you drink water, sit and drink water," we will sit down and drink water. This is what a servant does. A servant is he who follows the hukum of his master. He does what his master tells him to do. And Muhammad was our Sayyid. Sayyiduna Muhammad, he was our master. And whatever he orders us to do, we must serve him. Allah says, "In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah." Only then, when you become a servant of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, only then Allah will make you a mahbub. Allah will love you. But if you don't become a servant of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you don't do the ita'ah, the following of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there is no love from Allah for you. On the Day of Judgment, you will be sent into the fire of hell. Do you not know of a group? There is a group of people who say, "We do not believe in hadith, we only believe in the Quran. Kitabullahi hasbuna, kitabullahi hasbuna. The book of Allah has everything in it, the book of Allah has everything in it. We do not need Muhammad. Muhammad is like a postman." Ma'azallah, this is what they say. That is wrong. The Quran tells you that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is your wasila to reach Allah. If you want to learn what the Quran means, then become a servant of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So dear respected brothers, Allah says that إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهَ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And Allah will forgive all of your sins. That is all we want in this world. In this world we want to follow Allah, because He is the greatest. There is nobody like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the creator of the universe. And to worship Allah, we will serve Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we worship Allah, we will worship Allah how Muhammad worshipped Allah. If we perform namaz and salah, we will perform salah in the way Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed salah. When we drink water or we sit to eat, we will eat and drink like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate and drink. Everything we do, we will copy Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if we copy Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we will gain the pleasure of Allah. Allah will love us and Allah will forgive all our sins. And then on the Day of Judgment, we will go into Jannah with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through the dhikr of Allah, enlighten our hearts and fill our hearts with nur, with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah give us all the tawfiq and ability to serve our master Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom Allah has given us as the greatest gift Allah ever created. The greatest gift Allah ever created. Because remember, the kalamullah The word of Allah is the attribute of Allah, not a creation. From creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest. So may Allah give us the ability to learn the life seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and give us the tawfiq to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the right manner. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma rabbana inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma rabbana aqimna ala madhhabi ahli sunnati wal jamaa wa idha tawaffaytana fatawaffana alayha. Allahumma rabbana ij'alna min ibadika as-salihin waj'alna min at-tawwabin wal mutatahhirin. Amin ya rabbal alamin wa ma alayna illa al-balagh. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Nabi salam alayka, ya Rasul salam alayka, ya Habib salam alayka, salawatullah alayka. صدقہ کرم کر چشم و دل کر دے منور. یا نبی سلام علیکا, یا رسول سلام علیکا, یا حبیب سلام علیکا, صلوات اللہ علیکا. وہ عطا دے تم عطا لو, وہی چاہے جو چاہو, کیوں رضا مشکل سے ڈریے جب نبی مشکل کشا ہو. یا نبی سلام علیکا, یا رسول سلام علیکا, یا حبیب سلام علیکا, صلوات اللہ علیکا. صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. صلی اللہ علی محمد, یا ربی صلی وسلم. کاش محشر میں جب ان کی آمد ہو, بھیجے سب ان کی شوکت پیلا ہو سلام. مجھ سے خدمت کے قدسی کہے ہاں رضا, مجھ سے خدمت کے قدسی کہے ہاں رضا. مصطفیٰ جانِ رحمت پیلا ہو سلام, شمعِ بزمِ ہدایت پیلا ہو سلام.
salatu was salamu alayka ya rasul allah salatu was salamu alayka ya nabiy allah salatu was salamu alayka ya nur allah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya rahmatan lil alamin wa ya shafi al mudhnibin sallallahu ta'ala alayka wa sallam allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim allahumma rabbana balligh salamana ila diyari habibika muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warzuqna ziyarata haramika wa harami nabiyyika muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warzuqna shafa'atahu yawm al qiyamah يا رب العالمين اللهم ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا للقوم الكافرين اللهم ربنا إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم اللهم ربنا أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ربنا أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ربنا أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين اللهم ربنا يا مثبت القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك ويا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا إلى طاعتك اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم ربنا إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم ومنبع العلم والحلم والحكم وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.